Ramsey TV.
I am going to get back to the topic of their folly shall become obvious to all. Last Friday, I read you a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul as prophet, telling Timothy the state of things in the last days, where we are. Humans will be selfish, fond of money, proud, ostentatious, without natural affection. You may say, Martin, people have always been this way, but not to the extent it is today. Paul said it would be increasing. Paul lived 2,000 years ago. Paul said it would be increasing. It is not decreased. It is increased. And so as we are living at the end of Millennium 6, I believe all bets are off. What do I mean by that? I mean that things are so extreme, the times are so severe, that God is going to break some molds and do some things, some crazy things, in conjunction with the madness of the eon. And so I think that the door will be open for a mainstream announcement of the truth. And I think I'm going to be doing that. I know that sounds audacious. And like I said last Friday, I don't care how it sounds. Somebody said, Martin, I don't want you to go mainstream. I'm not going mainstream. I'm just writing like I know how to write. And it's up to God to open doors. It's so funny. People talk about Trump and the success that Donald Trump is having, and he's doing things that other politicians just couldn't do. I'll give you one example. North Korea, Kim Jong-un, we have a deal with them. Trump's having another summit with Kim, and for decades nobody could deal with this dynasty in North Korea. And all of a sudden Trump comes in and he's making it happen. I'll give you another example. Jared Kushner, his son-in-law. I believe this kid is going to broker a peace treaty in Israel between Israel and the Palestinians. Yeah, it's going to happen. Because it's time for it. And people are going to say, well, Trump's a genius. And it'll not be so much Trump's a genius, even though I think he is. It will be that God is removing obstacles that he has had in place for years. Who was it who dispersed the nations at the Tower of Babel? That was God. Sent the nations all over the place. He created nations, I should say. He didn't disperse the nations. There were no nations. Humanity was trying to become even more unified. And God said, no, not today. And so he scattered them at Babel. And the nations have been trying to get back together ever since. Cries of one world order, one world, new world order, one world government. But God has not let that happen. And if God doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. But if God does want it to happen, it can't not happen. And it won't matter who's in charge of it. So I'm telling you that God is going to be removing obstacles. And somebody will say, God, how is Trump doing all this stuff? It's just that God has removed all the obstacles. And he's putting wax on the tracks. Yeah. Wax in the skis. Wax in the skids. It's time for it. And we know that the first verse of Revelation, these things which must swiftly come to pass. Swiftly, not soon. Swiftly. It wasn't soon from the perspective of John who wrote the Revelation. It was swiftly. When these things start happening, it's going to be fast, 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 fast. Somebody told me that they sacrificed a sacrifice in Israel for the first time in 2,000 years last October. This parallels the time when Israel returned from Babylon after 70 years of captivity, and they were going to rebuild the temple under Nehemiah, And they sacrificed without a temple. They just built an altar and sacrificed. Yeah, that's legit. They can do that. So apparently Israel has already done that. We know that in Jerusalem they have the equipment, they have the tools, they have the stuff that they need for the sacrifices. The temple utensils are in place. And they will soon have a temple. Some people are looking for a big temple. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at a shed right now. I showed you my viewpoint here before, and my car was facing differently then. I was faced up against the wall. I'm going to show you what I'm looking at now. The reason I want to show you this is because this could be the rebuilt temple that everybody's looking for. Are you ready for this? I am not kidding you. This is not a joke. Watch the car cam as I switch the viewpoint around. There you go. It's a little shed that my neighbor over here, whose name is Nick, built with his dad. That could be the size of the temple. Who says, see, everybody's thinking it has to be a temple that looked like Solomon's temple with the porch and the porticos and all the fancy stuff. No, it can be a tent for years. Israel had a temple in the wilderness. It was called the tabernacle. That's all they need. That's all they need. Call it a tent, call it a tabernacle, call it a temple. Call it a Nick's shed, okay? But it's going to be in Israel, and they're already sacrificing. So God is making things happen. All that to say that God can also take a book of mine, The History of the Universe, and he could make it go wide. So it won't be a matter of me going mainstream. It'll just be a matter of God's just taking all the obstacles out and the thing goes mainstream on its own. I just write the book. And there's other things developing that are very exciting, very interesting. I'm not at liberty to talk about them now, but it would be me handing the book to other people and then see what happens. And I'm saying this prophecy has to be fulfilled. 2 Timothy 3:9, their folly, that is the folly of those who have a form of devoutness but deny the power, will be made obvious to all. And that hasn't happened yet. And God, I told you I wasn't going to talk about this today, but Paul dangled this as work to do and as something that could be accomplished to Timothy. No evangelist wants to work faced with the gloom and doom of failure. And yet, that's our default setting is we're going to fail. Well, we're going to do it anyway, whether we fail or not. We're going to try it. Oh, I got to say this again because something is happening. I'm just reporting this. I told you ever when I started uploading YouTube videos, I think it was 5 years ago, not sure. It took me 5 years and 1,200 videos. I think I have over 1,200 videos now posted. To hit 1 million views, right? It took 5 years. This happened about 3 months ago. All right. Again, my view count stares me in the face every day. I'm not obsessed with views. I'm not obsessed with mainstream. I'm just noticing things. And I know that we're in a strange era. We're in a different era. All bets are off. God can do whatever he wants. And I think things are going to go a little bit crazy in a good way. Anyway, because their folly is going to be made obvious to all. And I'm on the way to doing that on YouTube. And it could be that these views are going to go from 1,000 to 100,000. It could happen overnight. It really could. Because let me tell you what has happened. Just reporting here. In the last 3 months since I hit 1 million views, I have gotten 210,000 views for all my videos. 210,000. It took me 5 years to get from zero to 1 million, and now in the last 3 months, I'm almost at 250,000. Hey, I just make them. I just talk in my car here, put them out there, and they have a life of their own. We don't promote it. That's the funny thing. We don't put any money toward promotion. My site's not monetized. I don't have enough subscribers for that yet. I wouldn't do it anyway. I'm not commercial, folks. I am not. You should know that by now. If somebody wants to take my manuscript and say, God, the history of the universe, this book is really interesting. This could go big. Great. Make it go big. Let me know when it happens. Okay? Yeah. When 60 Minutes wants to interview me, call me. I'll go on. I don't want to, but I will. You have to drag me. Honestly, I'm like Moses, right, in the wilderness. Don't want to go back. I've never been there. It's not like I've been to Egypt. You know what I mean. I intended to talk to you today about evil, and I think I'm going to do it. Somebody told me recently of a terrible story. There's evil happening every day. I can't stand it. This is why I can't understand why people would be excited by the prospect that this life could go on longer. Sick people. There's sick people out there that want this to keep going on, so that more people can come into the body of Christ, and more people can die, more people can suffer, more people can be tortured, more people can... That sounds great. Let's see. Yeah, somebody said that they saw a video of a child being attacked by a hyena. I don't know how the child ended up in contact with the hyena, but the hyena attacked the child, tore its jawbone off. Nasty. The child survived. But the question was, how much evil does God need? Believe me, I've asked this question too. Seems like overkill to me. Like, we got the point. It's about contrast, God. Got it. You've made your point. World War I, World War II, the kid getting his jawbone ripped off. Yeah. Point made. Let's close it up. Yeah. Put up your shingle. Roll up your awning. We got the message, but no. And I need to say this every now and then, that just because I teach that God is the creator of evil, just don't shoot the messenger. Isaiah 45:7, I create good and evil. I do all these things, says the Lord. That's his resume. He wrote it. I'm not going to try to improve it for him. He can speak for himself, and I let him. So he created evil for the purpose of contrast. We know that. That's Revelation 101. I mean, that's Word of God 101. That's except nobody knows it. It's as simple as you cannot see the intricacies of a snowflake unless it's against a black background. Try putting a white snowflake against a white wall. So that's the whole purpose of evil. That's it. It's that simple. But I'm going to tell you something here today about the proportion of evil to good. Anyway, back to this kid. I don't like it. People assume that because I teach that God is the creator, God created evil for a purpose, that I love it. The first thing you need to know, in case you don't know this, because I do have approximately 50 new subscribers every month. That's another amazing thing. I'm just watching the wheels go round and round. I'm just watching this, okay? There's no money behind it. We're not promoting it. We're not advertising. We're not doing anything. I'm just uploading the videos. That's it. We send the email to you, our email subscribers, and the YouTube subscribers automatically get it. After that, it takes on a life of its own. People put it on social media. People share it with their friends, their relatives, their soon-to-be ex-friends. It's been like that with this truth from day one. I don't know how to promote. I don't. I suck at it. Marketing is not my forte. There are people who do market for a living. And if one of those people were to get hold of my books and they want to take care of business, okay. But just because I know God created evil and he has a purpose for it, doesn't mean I like it. I don't. I complain. I groan like the rest of creation. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even the sons of God are groaning for the manifestation of themselves. What do you think? So here's a fact. The kid's jawbone got wrecked by a hyena. That's the fact. We have to deal with it. It happened. So what I'm saying is, no matter what your philosophy is concerning that, philosophy is a bad word. No matter what you believe concerning that, that thing happened. And so did World War I and World War II. So in my mind, there are only two ways to look at that event. One, there's a reason for everything. Now, I've heard people who don't even know God, or they're nominal Christians or whatever, and a lot of people will say that, well, I just believe there's a reason for everything. It sounds like a New Agey thing. It probably is to most of these people. But I will say this, there's something about it that is within the human that wants that to be true. It doesn't matter how bad you want it to be true. If it's not true, it's not true, no matter how bad you want it to be true. But everything has a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Everything has a purpose. You see, it's the longing of the soul. It's the longing of the human for God and for order. If you look at the universe, for the most part, you do see order. You do see beauty, except for this guy's shed over here. It's ugly. It's nondescript. It's terrible. It'd make a good temple for the Israelites. And so people long to make things orderly. Some people are obsessive about it. We call them OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. They have to arrange things at night in their bedstand, make everything straight, make sure, you know, the carpet is at a 90 degree angle to the bed, and those types of things. But God is orderly, by God, and so people long to believe that everything happens for a reason. And in fact, everything does happen for a reason. But if that is true, and it is true, the people saying it don't realize what they're saying. In order for it to be true, that, for instance, all things work together for good, that's the verse that proves it, Romans 8, 28, right? All things work together for good. Everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. God is operating all in accord with the purpose of His delight. Ephesians 1, 11, and we know that God is good. God is love. Scripture says that. God is love. So the God of love is behind everything, and everything is happening for a reason. But for that to be true, everything has to be destined beforehand. That's the shocker. This is what people don't realize. Well, everything has a reason. The only thing everything can have a reason and can have a purpose is if it has been pre-planned, as in a movie script, and the people who are in the movie have been designated beforehand to fulfill their roles in the great drama. That's the only way that, well, everything has a reason, that they don't realize what they're saying. They're tacitly admitting to the sovereignty of God. They're tacitly admitting to God's creation of both good and evil, because half the shit that happens in this world is evil. No, probably 80%, 85%. I don't even want to know the percentage. So all these admissions, tacit, they don't know what they're saying. And I just believe everything has a reason. Yes, yes, it does. That means there can be no free will. It means that God's in control of good and evil, and that God wrote the script beforehand, and no accidents can happen to throw it off. Otherwise, things would not necessarily work out for the good. And there's your other alternative right there. I just spelled it out for you. The only other alternative to that kid's jaw getting torn off was somehow we're going to see the reason for that. That there's a reason for it. And God is going to be justified in it. I'm going to close with that, how God can be justified. What do you see this? Yet the only other alternative to all that is that it's random. It's a random event. And there's no reason for it. None whatsoever. It just happened. It was a literal absolute accident, not a relative accident. It was an absolute accident. And I'm sorry, but if that's the way the universe is run, then how can we count on our salvation? How can we count on God's promises? Because accidents happen, and accidents are absolute, in that each accident is its own capital G God. And these accidents can disrupt the other capital G God, the poor God who wrote the script and hopes that the actors do what he wants them to do. He wrote the script. I hope the actors read the script. I hope they don't start improvising here. The hell kind of a God is that? Ridiculous. It wouldn't be any kind of God. Be a loser and a celestial snoozer. But this is not our God. So, random, chaotic event. Is that very comforting? Well, if it was the truth, we'd have to deal with it. But it's not the truth. God is operating all, operating, active verb. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1, 11. Romans 11, 36. For out of Him and through Him and for Him is all. Everything is through Him. Everything operates because of Him. Colossians 1, 16 through 20. Everything in the universe coheres by him by God's Spirit. Makes everything cohere. So, the thing happened. Damn it. I feel bad. The kid survived, but I don't know, somehow where this kid's going to become a professor. He's going to be a great spokesperson. He might grow up to be, you know, the premier of Italy or whatever the hell. I don't know what the kid's going to be, but so back to the question, I'll close with this. Why so much evil? Random events? That's random chaos. That's your only other alternative besides there's a reason for everything. That's your only alternative. Random chaos. Then our salvation is not even safe. We could be derailed. God's plan is not sure. It's not. But it is. Because the whole script was written ahead of time. Everything's set in stone, ladies and gentlemen. The future is just as set in stone in the past. The only thing that is in the middle here is this little bubble of ignorance that we have. This glorious bubble of ignorance that God gave us as a gift so that we don't know what's going to happen. You don't want to know what's going to happen. Good or bad, you don't want to know. Okay? Got enough trouble dealing with what's coming at you. I'm looking at this shed over here. Ah, it's not a work of art. Romans 8:18. For I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. The word deserve here in other places in the concordant literal New Testament was translated as not worthy. Not worthy to be compared. The sufferings of the current era are not worthy to be compared. They don't deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. So here Paul is comparing suffering and glory. And I'm sorry, but I suffer with that kid. I don't even know the kid. I didn't see the video. I'm not going to watch the video. I suffer. I'm an empathetic person. I feel sorrow when other people feel sorrow. I'm kind of like Woody Allen. If there's one guy miserable, I just can't be happy. There's one guy suffering over here. What do you want? I just can't be happy. Yeah, so sometimes I feel like I carry the weight of the world. Anyway, the sufferings, which include the evil and our reaction to the evil, are not worthy, do not deserve the glory about to be revealed. Suffering versus glory. Suffering versus glory. I've often complained to God that we have not seen the glory. Why don't you show us the glory? Paul went to the third heaven. Yes. Probably saw the body of Christ completed, as I've told you, but we don't see much glory. And I've often complained to God, show us the glory. Then I said, wait a minute. Then I see this verse. And Paul is saying the sufferings, or I would say that includes the evil in the world, is not worthy to be compared to the glory. So, whoa. This is a Rosetta Stone. In other words, this is a translation symbol here. This is enabling me to translate, to make a comparison between suffering and glory, and I have a key that tells me that the suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory. Not worthy to be compared. Can't even stand next to it. So can you imagine? We do have an indication of the coming glory. How? Why? By the amount of evil. The amount of evil, which we think is ridiculous, can't be compared. It's so small, so minuscule, so insignificant, including the kid getting his jawbone ripped off by a hyena. So insignificant. World War II. So insignificant. Only compared. I can only say that when comparing it to the glory, because that's what Paul's doing. Comparing suffering to glory. And he says the glory far outweighs the suffering. In other words, for every penny of investment in suffering and reacting to evil, there is a $1 million return. Imagine that, a $1 million return for every penny of investment. That'd be one hell of a stock you would sign up for. That's what we're looking at here. And so we do get a look at the extent of the glory by looking at the extent of the evil and realizing by the Spirit of God inspiring Paul to write this that the suffering cannot even be compared to the glory. So much greater is the glory.